Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the place that we can be, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just pray that, Lord God, tonight that you might bless us, that you might impart unto us your life, your spirit, your hope, your strength. For, Father, we truly are a needy people. We need you. We need your spirit. We need your power. We need your authority, Father, to overcome the darkness that is in this life. And so, Father, as we gather here together, we pray, Father, that your spirit would move and have your preeminence in and amongst us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have some things on my heart I'd like to share tonight. There's something that God brought to me in the night season here about 10 days ago. And I'd like to share it with you and some things that are on my heart concerning it all. It came in the form of a dream, and I'd like to read it to you. So let me bring it up. The title of this dream was The Two Most Important Principles Dream. So let me just read it to you. In this dream, I was involved with a group of brethren, and we were on this basketball team. And we were hosting another basketball team from overseas, and the purpose of it was to teach certain principles. Therefore, the game we played against one another were designed for us to learn these principles. So during the course of playing the games, we were being instructed on these two basic principles in our playing. And if we got them right, everything else would become successful in our lives. Can I read that again? All right. Now remember, this is something we're playing a basketball game, but really we were playing something that had to do with life itself. I wrote, during the course of playing the games, we were being instructed on these two basic principles in our playing. And if we got them right, everything else would become successful in our lives. How many of us want to be successful in God? Amen. Just a third of you? How many of you want to be successful in God? Now, I'm not talking about successful in life. I'm talking about being successful in God. Amen. Okay. Now, during one part of this dream, I remember talking with brethren and was reminding everyone of what one brother had taught, that there should be no compromise. Maybe I should repeat that one again. Huh? That there should be no compromise. Well, just a couple amens. Yeah. Amen. I think that's a little convicting, huh? All right, so we came down to the last day of our time together, and we were to play our final game with the opposing international team. One of the men happened to be of Russian descent, and he was trying hard to understand the two basic principles. Because we were the team that was teaching the principles, you know, I think that's something. We were the team teaching the principles. We, of course, were in the winning position. Now, that doesn't mean we've learned them all, but... So, one of the members on our team received the ball. Now, he was standing up high over the basketball hoop in a much higher elevated position. Now, most of you know a basketball hoop is... What's the height of it? Is it 10 feet? Now, he was sitting higher than that. And he was bouncing the ball. And I realized that the man, he had something of a higher elevation. Let me just say, you know, I mean, if you were, how could I put it in a dream? I mean, if you were playing a game against somebody that was that height, you know, wouldn't you almost want to give up? he would win the game, right? So he was bouncing that ball in a much higher elevated position. He bounced the ball twice, and of course, no one could get the ball from him because of his position. Suddenly, during the last play of the game, this Russian man spoke, exclaiming to everyone, "I know what the two principles that we need." It came to him. It was a revelation. And I looked at him smiling and said that what he was thinking was right. For the two basic principles that must be established first are these. One, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And number two, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. You know, after having a dream like that, I've been thinking about that dream very often. What that means pertaining to life as a son of God. And, you know, when you go into the Word and you begin to study it out, you see that, you know, Moses had spoke about that in Deuteronomy. And let me read that verse to you. It is in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6, and starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Hallelujah. Huh? Praise the Lord. You know, it's... you know, as I look upon my own self, how much do I love God? Do I love Him with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength? Huh? It's a place that I believe that God is wanting to challenge us. You know, when I was thinking, you know, in the dream where it says that if we learn them, we would be successful in everything. But you know, it's interesting because they're the two commandments. Now, Jesus spoke it, it's recorded three times in the, well, actually more than that, but the very two principles are recorded three times in the Gospels. They're in Matthew, they're in Luke, and they're in Mark. And let's go to Matthew first. You know, because when I hear something in the Spirit, I like to read it out. I like to search it out into the Word of God. If we go to Matthew 22, 37. Matthew 22. This was here where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were put to silence. They were gathered together, but one was coming to tempt Jesus. And in 36, he says, "Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto this," or like unto it, "thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, if we go over into Mark, and that is in chapter 12, and in verse 29, well, it said one of the scribes came and they asked, "Which is the first commandment of all?" In 29, and Jesus answered him, saying, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Hallelujah. So I want to first let us think about the first commandment, because I believe we can't do the second without the first. You know, we first must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then I can love my brother as I would really love myself. You know, it's sort of interesting because, you know, to love your neighbor as yourself, That means that something must die in you in order for you to truly lay down your life for another person. But I think back to the day of my salvation, where God came and in his love towards me while I was yet very unlovely, as a sinner person, not knowing anything of God, God in his sovereign mercy came down, revealed himself through the word of God that I knew I needed a savior and I was saved. But you know, there was something, and I've heard many of you, your testimonies of when you were first saved, but something happened that began to bring a love in my heart for God, a desire that would propel me beyond, just having a born-again experience, but a place where that as I would give myself to God, God was faithful to bring himself and reveal himself to me. Huh? Do you ever wonder to the degree why you are hearing what you're hearing? Huh? Why is it that you're at the end of this day here in this chapel hearing the word of God versus being in a Baptist church? Huh? It starts out in the day of our salvation that God begins to see and begins to see the quality and the capability in us for us to go all the way with God. And he begins to equip us with the word of God. And what I mean by that is that God begins to break the chains of religion and bring us into a deeper understanding of who and what he is. And I don't know, do we have some markers here? I'd like to, Chris, Jim, could you help me just swing that around? Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Just a few amens.
Amen.
We can do better than that, can't we? Can we say amen?
Amen.
I want to draw a picture which we're all very familiar with. It's a picture of the tabernacle. And our beginning is here at the gate, where we come into an experience with God. That begins your my journey into a relationship with God. And you know, I was thinking of this tonight as we were singing that song, the first song we sang tonight. I will obey you, Lord. I will do what you say, Lord. I must go forward. I cannot go back. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
I must go forward. I cannot go back. Now, it's interesting because when we talk about loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength, it says that Jesus said, if you love me, then what? Keep my commandments. Hallelujah. And when God has brought to the people of this hour an understanding that God's plan goes well beyond salvation. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, the day that I was saved, it was the greatest day of my life. Right, Susan? That day was like no other day from that time that turned us from sinners, not knowing anything of God, that all we thought that he was on a cross. I mean, we were Roman Catholics. You know, to us, God was statues and rituals and all these things. And the living Savior came down and touched us, forgave our sins, and brought us life.
Huh?
You know, because it says that the life is in the blood.
Yes.
Amen?
Yep.
Hallelujah. You ever go over the day of your salvation? What it was like, how it was to you? I mean, to me, it was the greatest, you know, from that day forward, it was like night and day. Well, I did. I came out of darkness and I came into his glorious light. And it's just why we could not get enough of God. Hallelujah. That was without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just his blood, just the forgiveness of his sins, just the fact that God's presence, his life was now within us. It was something that we were willing to lay down all.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Huh? And that life brought us into this tabernacle. Before we were in the world, or Egypt, type of Egypt is a type of the world, as well as we were in darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Darkness. But when the light came, how great was that light? And, you know, it was something that propelled us. I don't know. It's just like we could not get enough of God, enough to the point that 6 weeks later, well, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Didn't know much or anything about God. We just started to read the Word of God. But do you know, when we look at the principles of God, that there's something about receiving the Holy Spirit, is that a vessel must be opened to wanting the Holy Spirit. Huh?
Right.
Does the Holy Spirit come into you if you're not willing?
No.
Huh? Or if there is unbelief in your life?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's through faith in God. And when you read the Word of God, He says, you know, it says, what father of yours, if you would ask for a piece of bread, would he give you a stone? Or if your son would come and ask of your father for an egg, would he give him a serpent? He says that if your fathers that are evil would give you good things, how much more will your heavenly Father give of you of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Hallelujah. You know, we had a man who was born again, but the man was a very strong intellectual man. We met him. I think some of the brethren remember him. And he had all these books on how to get the Holy Ghost. You know, he could not get the Holy Spirit. He did not receive the Holy Spirit because he was trying to figure it out in his intellectual mind. Hallelujah. But it is something that God just does in an appetite for him. You know, we're going forward. We become born again at the brazen altar, right? We receive, it brings a judgment to sin in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Death to sin. I think we were talking about that today. And the progression when we go to the brazen laver is there is another death that is being occurring there. And that is what? Death to self. Hallelujah. You know, this is a place where really the church is really being at this point, is the place of dealing with self and sin. You know, self and sin is all dealt with in the outer court. Hallelujah. And that is the place where God looks and sees, how much do you love God? Huh? How much do you love God? Do you love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind? Huh? I'm still not making the grade that way. I'm still not serving God with all of my mind. Is anyone here? 100%? Hallelujah. So there is a place that God is wanting us to walk that we begin to, if we love God, then we have to serve Him in our mind and in our will. Well, in our soul, which is our will, our mind, our emotions, and our desires. Amen? Now, it's an interesting thing because remember, it says that we're to love God with what? All of our heart, with all of our soul. Now, the place of the change of the soul is in here, not out here. This is the place to where we die to self, is out in the outer court. And in that place of dying to self, that we can begin to move into the holy place. You know, I was thinking today that in the book of Revelation, it was the one church that God had something against them because they left their first love. They had everything else. He commended them for this and for that. And yet He says, but I have somewhat yet against you because you've left your first love. You know, I was thinking of our trip to Africa this past in August. We had gone to Nigeria. I think Brother Mark was talking a little bit about that this afternoon. And we had an opportunity for the first time to go into the country of Togo. And It was an open door by a friend of Sister Beery, who also works for the UN, Sister Felicia. The invitation would have been open for about a year or two, Brother Bert, and it seemed like we were not going to go in it. You know, when we went on this trip in August, we were supposed to go in Liberia. They closed all the planes down, including to Togo, because the man that had had brought the Ebola to Nigeria flew on the same planes that we flew on the year before. We were up in Liberia. You have to go from Liberia. You go to you go to Sierra Leone, and then you go down to Togo. You have to get off the plane. You have to go through the airport, and then you get back on the plane, and you go to Nigeria. And so because of what he did that, all the planes were shut down. And, of course, the door was closed for us with Liberia, and we thought at first that Togo was going to be closed. Well, we started to ask the Lord, what else shall we do? But we had no concrete plans. But lo and behold, when we got to Nigeria, we found that they kept the airports closed in Liberia, but they had reopened the airport for travel in Togo. Now, Togo never did get any Ebola in the country. The man just passed through it. And so we felt that God was reopening the door, and so we made the plans to go to Togo. We went for, what was it, 4 days, 5 days? It was a short time. I think it was 4 days Thursday. We came back on a Monday. And but I want to tell you, brethren, it was one of the most amazing experiences we ever had. First of all, it was like reading in the New Testament. Sister Felicia was so thankful for someone coming that she, in her home, she had a balcony up there. She went and rented a big tent, and it was probably about, I'd say, half the size of this room, maybe a little smaller. And you know what she did? She went out and invited everyone she knew. She invited all of her friends to come and hear the Word of God. Now, Brother Mark and Rita had to stay back in Nigeria because Mark had fallen ill and was not able to make the trip. But we went up. It was Brother Bert, Sister Nancy. It was Brother Jijoki. Was it Sister Iffy there? No, she didn't come. Sister Lucy and her husband, Brother Idy, and Sister Beery, which really proved essential. Because, see, Togo is a French-speaking nation, and we needed an interpreter there. Well, we started our meeting, I think it was, we had a Thursday night prayer meeting, but then we started on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I wish you all would have been there. Truthfully, when, you know, something that we know for many, many years when we talk of the tabernacle, when we talk of the brazen altar, when we talk of the brazen laver, some of us have had this understanding for 40 years. But here was these people that Sister Felicia invited. They were from all different churches. They were from Baptist churches. They were from Assembly of God. There were some Catholic ones there. I think there were some Lutheran ones there. And we just began, the Lord just spoke to us, begin to teach the basics. And we started to draw the tabernacle. We started talking about the need to be born again and the need to be baptized and what baptism is, you know, with the plural of three baptisms in one. And I'm telling you, the questions that arose in those meetings, it was just phenomenal, the hunger that was there. There was probably about 40 to 45 people. And when we were first talking about the need to be born again, we started getting all these questions. But at the end of the meeting, we had an altar call, and we saw these men that were deacons in the church stand up to receive, to be born again. Hallelujah. And we began to teach about baptism. Now, these things, you know, to us, like I said, they're so common. But to them, the one man stood up. He says, I have never heard a gospel like this. He said they wanted more. The hunger that was there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I don't know how many people got born again. Was it 12 or 13?
That
12 to 14 people got born again. Then we began to talk about baptism. Do you know what was we were finding out? We were finding out in all these little churches and that, you know, some of them still had differences of whether you should be water immersed or sprinkling was okay. And one man got up and at the end of his dissertation, he says, well, as long as what you do in the heart, it's all right. And we said, well, God bless you, but that's not quite it. I said, we have to follow the word of God. Do you know God began to touch people? And all of a sudden, we got it. The second day, someone said to us, one of the people want to be water baptized. Really? Okay. Well, they weren't used to being baptized. So we said, well, find a river, find someplace. And I think it was the second day. It was a Sunday. No, it was the third day. It was a Sunday morning. We were going to meet that afternoon. And we had gone out to see Sister Felicia's school, I believe, Sunday morning. Wasn't that in the time plan? But by the time we got, they found a river, a little, I shouldn't say a river, it was probably a little larger than a creek or, you know, running water under a bridge. But by the time we had five people that wanted to be water baptized. And we go down, and Sister Ona, you probably could understand that. We come down, and all of a sudden, a young man stops us and says, what are you doing? We said, well, we're going to be water baptized. And he goes, you can't do that. He goes, you got to get the chief's permission. He said, it's going to cost you. And we said, how much is it? And they said, what was it, $5,000 or something? Yeah, it was. We figured it out, it was $5. Said, give them the $5. We're here to baptize people. And there were ladies there, they were washing their clothes off in the river and everything, but they all stopped as we did the baptism. And I'm telling you, it was quite wonderful to see. Now, these weren't young kids, these are older people. There was one young lady, but there were also ones, I think there was one our age. That's not too old, is it? All right, that's good. No, we're young. But I'm telling you that the spirit that was there, come on, I'm trying to share something with you that wants to ignite something. You know, because if God says we're to love Him with all of our heart and our soul, how many of you find yourself dry at times, huh? How many of you find that, you know, it's one thing, you know, well, you're praising the Lord. It's another thing going through day and day, you know, that, you know, God allows all these things in our lives to test us. Oh, yeah, you say you love me. How much are you going to love me? Are you going to love me when you're down and out? Are you going to love me if you're sick? Are you going to love me if you've got tribulation in your life? You know, a lot of people give up. Huh? And it shows then that the love for God is not what it should be. Hallelujah. So, we continue to have meetings that weekend, and we just went into the Word of God. You know, we have been finding out for the past at least three years, Brother Bert, wherever we've gone, we've probably stayed mostly dealing with the brazen altar and the brazen labor. And that's just not to new people. I'm talking about being at the youth camp in Port Harcourt for 3 years running and beginning to continue to minister and to minister the need to be born again. The need to the understanding of what water baptism truly is. See that when we were talking in Togo, we were talking not just water baptism. We were saying, what is your understanding of what water baptism is? It's a covenant you're making with God. You're covenanting to go all the way with Him, and He is covenanting to go all the way with you. You know, it's a revelation. It's an understanding that when we go down into the water, it's not just a religious service. It is a covenant that is cementing you forever with God to say, okay, God, I'm committing myself all the way with you. Hallelujah. The hunger that was in these people, it just blessed us tremendously. The last night we began to minister on the third part of baptism, on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 30 of the 35, 32 people came up. We said we had an altar call then. Who would want the Holy Spirit? 32 people walked up. They're all up there. Hallelujah. Wanting and desiring the Holy Spirit. You know, we had two interpreters. We had the first man. He interpreted the first night, but he began to hear the word as he was interpreting, and it got him so much that he wanted another person to interpret because he wanted to sit and listen to the word of God. And not only did he get blessed, but the second interpreter got blessed. And after we'd have the meetings, the interpreters began to talk with us and began to ask us questions about the things that we were ministering. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, sometimes things in life become common to us and we fail to realize the gifting and the blessing and the pouring forth of God's anointing that has brought a change irrevocably in all of our lives up to this point. Hallelujah. But you know, we're living in a time where it says in Matthew 24, it says that, you know, we're coming to the ends of the earth, and it says that in those days that because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. Hallelujah. You ever find yourself, your love sort of waxing cold? Feeling dead? Huh? I felt it. I felt the deadness. And you know, you'll have to, for a season, God does sometimes withdraw himself to see how much we really love God. How much are we willing to persevere in the midst of all tribulation? Right, Brother Wade, Sister Sherry? Huh? When things are going really tough. Hallelujah. But there's something about this commandment to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. There is something, and I believe it, Brother Bert, when we first got saved, and that God begins to look at the heart. If God begins to see of a heart that really wants him, you know God's going to move heaven and earth upon for that individual? He really does. He begins to work. You know what he does? He begins to put a mark upon you and says, ah, here's a person that can go all the way. And then God begins to bring and to usher in everything that is needed for your total salvation. Hallelujah. I think I remember when we first got saved in Dubuque. You know, God was so faithful, not only to save us, not only to fill us with the Holy Spirit, but to bring us truth. Hallelujah. To bring us out of all the false doctrines of the church. All the things, you know. We were meeting with Christians that were born again brethren. The people that we were, when you're with Christians, I don't care, there's a big difference. Even to Christians that don't have a much revelation versus sinners.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Can we say amen? Trust me, I had 27 years of being a sinner and of being around sinners. And after that, I found there was no life being around sinners. Or being in fellowship, I should say, with them. Amen? But you know what? The love of God towards me, and I believe towards all of you, is the fact that God not only saved you, and for probably the vast majority here, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but began to bring to you the word of the kingdom of God. And the word of the kingdom of God that comes through the ministry that began to bring us up, or began to show us a higher way, I should say. Hallelujah. When we were young Christians in Dubuque, and we started meeting, God put into our hands the pattern. We began to read it. We began to understand that there was something about this tabernacle that talked about a deeper walk with God. Hallelujah. And in doing so, God not only gave us the book, but he began to send ministry into our midst. He began to send the teacher, began to send the prophet, brought the evangelist, and brought the apostolic word to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know the apostolic word is important in our lives? Can we say amen to that? Because you know, when we look at the tabernacle, and you know the bars in the tabernacle, you see that there are five bars, and they represent the fivefold ministry. And you know, it's interesting when we look at the book of Ephesians. You know, some people say, well, you're preaching too much on ministry. Well, I'll tell you what, after 30 years of sitting with Brother Ducille, I wore out the pages in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I wore them out. Brother Cecil would minister it, and minister it. Why? because it is something that needs to get down into our hearts and our minds, that God has placed in the church the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the church. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that? Hallelujah. There are things that God brought through the ministry to me personally, prophecies as a young Christian. I still have today. I have them typed out. They're in my file cabinet. And there were words of prophecy that are still resounding today after 30-some years. Hallelujah. And that's the love of God. But the whole purpose that God wants to work in our lives according to His plan and His purpose is for us to become like Him. Huh?
Amen.
For us to become like Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That means that we have to get rid of this old Adamic nature. Adam, we have to lay down all of our own aspirations, our own desires, and just desire Him. You know, the Word says, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd tonight. Maybe you don't. You've all followed those two commandments and have excelled. I don't know. I'm far from it yet. I'm trying to love God with all my heart, soul. I'm wanting to prioritize in my life. I feel the conviction with the Word of God that I need to put Him first in my life. I find that when I do, the blessings of God come. Now, I'm not talking blessings of the prosperity movement. You know, well, if you give to God, He'll give you back, pressed down. You know, someone was telling me that the other day. I'm thinking, my goodness, I heard that 34 years ago. You know, they're still going around sharing this prosperity doctrine, you know, on this level here. Come on, brethren. You know, the thing that I remember, you know, when I first got saved, you know, and I would hear those things. I said, I don't want a natural blessing. I want a spiritual blessing. And when I'm saying a spiritual blessing, I knew who I came out of. I knew still this sin nature with me. And I knew that if God would bless me in the Spirit, that I would be lifted up more out of this carnality and into His divinity. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, to be changed. To be changed, to be changed. You know, when we go out and we minister the Word of God, you know, it's like a two-edged sword. It comes back. And you're, you know, anytime you begin to minister, either from the pulpit here or you begin to testify, you know, that word comes back to us. You know, when we go and we minister out to people, it comes back because it says a husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, and it's the very same thing that, you know, when you go and you share life, you got to have life with inside of yourself in order to give life to somebody else. You got to have the goods. You have to have the power, the life of God inside of you. Huh? How many of us are hungry for that life?
Amen.
How many of us are hungry to have the expression of Christ? Hallelujah. It doesn't come just by osmosis, just by sitting. There has to be something that you and I must do. We have to make a decision whom we're going to serve. Hallelujah. You know, as Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say something to you also. You know, there is an individual responsibility we have. But you know, as we collectively, individually, a purpose to put God first, what do you think God's going to do when we gather together? There's going to be an explosion of His presence, of His life, of His plan, His purpose. Hallelujah. In which we might be partakers of. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. You know, I remember something. You know, I'm just sharing some of these things that come to me. Back 10, 12 years ago, we were in London. And it just so happened in this fellowship, I think it was Brother Coyote, met this young man. His name was Sean. And he happened to liked the meeting, so he invited us to one of their meetings. Well, we went to the meeting, but before we went to the meeting, they invited us to their home because they wanted to check us out. Well, we found out what we were going to was a Branham meeting. Any of you ever been in a Branham meeting before? Oh, I tell you what, it's quite different. Quite different. Oh, yeah, they would sing songs, and I was Brother Duseal. It was myself. Sue, were you there with us? You were there with me. Bert, Nancy, we were there. And you know, they begin to talk in riddles, or little sentences. And it just so happened they had their regional director that day. And so he was supposed to speak, but they decided, well, Brother Duseal was there. So they would give Brother Duseal, I think, what was it, 10 minutes? It was something like 10 minutes. Well, Brother Duseal, God bless him. You know, Brother Duseal, if you gave him 10 minutes or 1 hour, he would just use it to the fullest. And so Brother Duseal got up and he began to minister. Now, he got up first. The Branham regional director got up second. But Brother Duseal began to minister, and it was such life coming out. And there happened to be a couple there that had been going to the Branham meetings for, I don't know, 5-6 meetings or something like that. And so anyway, 10 minutes was up. They cut the time off. Brother Duseal had to sit down. And the regional director got up and ministered for 45 minutes. And you know, if you're ever in it, you know what they always work around? They walk about around the revelation in the book of Revelation about the seventh star. And they don't come right out and say it right away, but they're always pointing that Branham was the seventh angel in the book of Revelation. Well, after it was all done, and of course, we were sitting nearby this couple, and when the meeting got over, I'll always remember what this man said. He said, you know, he says, this meeting was like I was in a desert. And he says, and someone came over, I've been in a desert for a long time, someone came over and gave me a glass of cold water. He goes, and as I'm drinking it, someone then came and took it away. And that's the truth. You know, there's a difference between life and death. There, you know, no anointing. You know, there's something. How many of us would give all of our worth to be able to have one day with the anointing of God? I think we've had. You know, I've said that to myself. My God, in a meeting and the presence of God is flowing and the Spirit of God is moving, I would say, God, I want to be nowhere else. Amen. Nowhere else than right here. Huh? And when God begins to move and all of a sudden He comes and He puts His finger upon you and He begins to give you a word of prophecy. Huh? How much would you trade for it, Sister Ona? You remember that dream, Sister Ona, about going for the gold? Being in my father's basement? You know, there's a place when God brings a word that comes not from man, but from the Spirit of God. What makes us here together today after 35 years, after 25 years of ministering together, Brother Bert? It's the Spirit of God. Are we perfect? No. I'm far from perfect, brother. And if you look at me close, I got a long ways to go. But I'm telling you, there's something that I have a desire that I want, and it's the presence of God. And I'm finding something else out. I'm finding that if I put Him first, if I really love Him and put Him first, that God's going to that God is moving in my life, moving in the course, whether it's in my family, whether it's in my fellowship, whether it's in the course of my life, God's blessing flows. Hallelujah. And it brings life. Brings life. You know, but the devil's there. The word says that the devil is there but to rob, to steal, and to destroy. Come on, that's his nature, right? And I think probably a lot of us are pretty familiar with how he wants to rob and to steal and destroy, right? Huh? Sickness, finances, huh? Relationships. The devil's working. Or maybe he's not working in your life like that. Huh? Well, what's our hope? But God. Huh? Amen. What's our hope, Tyson? But God. Amen. The ability for God not only to believe Him and trust in Him, but the ability for God to be able to change me, to change you. It, you know, I love one another, but you know, I would love you more if, or I think you'd love me more if I was more like Christ. So how do I get to be more like Christ? But I got to get myself out of the way. I have to die. You're whispering it, Joanne. I have to die in order for him to live. Hallelujah. Huh? What does it say? It says, if any man wants to serve me, he must what? Pick up his cross? Deny himself. Yeah, pick up his cross and follow me daily. I think I got it might a little world around. Pick up your cross daily. How many of us like our crosses? Huh? You like your cross, Lily? Huh? You ever remember, I think Brother DeSeal shared the story about a man who didn't like his cross. And then he went and he says, oh, I'd like that person's cross. And then he put that person's cross on. He goes, oh, no, no, no. No, I don't want that one. But I'll take that one over there. Oh, yeah, let me take that one over there. And he takes that cross and he finds, no, no, this isn't any good. And you know, he goes all the way around and then he finds, picks this one and goes, this is perfect. And it's the very one that was designed for him in the beginning. Yes. That's why God, pick up your cross. You're not to pick up my cross. Of course, sometimes we get that all turned around. Huh, Jim? Turn around, all right, we'll pick up someone else's cross, but we're not minding our own cross. Hallelujah. I think there was a word one time about how minding our own field instead of always looking at other people's fields. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I don't know, brethren, there's something that God is doing in these past few years that I've been marveling at. You know, when you go and if you get the opportunity, listen to these messages that have been going around the world, that have been in the different conferences in the last 3, 4, 5 years. My goodness, Brother Gordon knows. Gordon listens to every one of them. You know, if you ever hear someone who has listened to the Word and listened to the Word and listened to the Word, this man has. He's not only listened to it once, he's probably listened to them, I don't know, 4 or 5 times each, Gordon. He's going over, but he's getting it in. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we're fighting a devil that is, what is he? Well, he's a lot longer than 6,000 years. You know, it's recorded he was there in the Garden of Eden when Adam was created. You know, he's a master of deception. Do you think any of us can outsmart the devil in our own intellect? Can you, Steffi? There's no way. Hallelujah. But by the Spirit of God, we can overcome the devil. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
We can overcome the devil. The devil's out to destroy the church. You think of the story of the book of Esther, and you begin to look at what Haman, who is a type of the devil, he hated Mordecai, which is a type of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the ministry. He hated Esther, which is a type of the church, and he did everything he could to destroy them all. Hallelujah. 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 And can I say something here? I'm taking my liberty. The devil wants to accuse the ministry. The ministry is not perfect. I'm not perfect. Others aren't perfect. Mark, are you perfect? Brother Bert, are you perfect? But I'm telling you something. The devil has been doing that. I saw the devil tearing apart the ministry from the 1980s when we were first saved. Hallelujah. But I also want to tell you something. The church should be able to discern the true ministry of God from the false ministry of God. And I'm also wanting to tell you something else. The church needs to get their eyes healed like Samson did. Hallelujah. Well, his eyes never recovered, but his hair grew. The anointing came back. I'm close. But anyway, let me just share with you. I do not want to be deceived. I do not want to be taken by Delilah. Hallelujah. And the church is not in the place that it's at to discern the truth. Hallelujah. 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 I can't remember, but I think last year we had talked of that very thing, that there was a word that God brought concerning that the church should be in a better place of discerning the truth. It is your responsibility. It's my responsibility to discern the Spirit of God in our midst. To discern the Word of God, if it's coming from the throne of God or if it's coming from man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's important. It's discerning between good and evil. Hallelujah. Huh? So we can learn to choose the good, refuse the evil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Do you know God is bringing us to repentance?
Yeah.
Three yeses? Come on. Come on, everybody should say yes. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that was half. Let me share something with you. You know, there's things that stick with me for years and years. Everything sticks with me. Brother Bert said that because I remember him. You know, I remember being said in one of our meetings that if ever you have a meeting and there's no repentance, that means the Spirit of God is not there. Because if the Spirit of God's there, it should lead us to repentance. You know, if the anointing of praise is there, what happens? Do we all have just a happy time? Or are you being convicted? Are you saying, God, change me? God, I want you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brethren, I'm sharing this from my own life that I want to be changed. 33, 34 years of walking with the Lord, I feel like I've just barely scratched the surface. I still feel I'm still dense in many things concerning the things of God. But there are some things that when I sense the Spirit of God, I say, yes, that's it. I want it. I want it. Huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 We have been seeing things in Africa. At Port Harcourt, you see the power and the anointing of the Spirit move. Hallelujah. Do you know that victory comes not without the battle?
Amen.
Without, you just don't have a conference.
Amen.
And just walk in and expect for great power and anointing. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes getting down, fasting, and praying for the presence of God.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Why? Because we're fighting our adversary, the devil. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. You don't want to be devoured by the devil, do you? No. Huh? Huh? You don't want to be food for the devil, do you?
No.
Have you ever been food for the devil?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't feel too good about it when he takes a bite out of you, or takes an arm, or takes a leg, and really chews you up. Come on, maybe you're not, I don't know. I've had a lot of battles with the devil, and he beat me up so many times as a Christian. Oh, yeah. He's like, he gets you into a boxing match, and then he comes and he gives you a right. And then as you're reeling, he comes around and he's a dirty fighter. He'll come and they'll give you the upper cut.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me just share it with you. You fall into sin, and then you feel condemned. Huh?
Yeah.
You fall into sin. And the devil comes, oh, you're no good. You know, you're never going to overcome. He gets you first. He tempts you. He gets you to fall. And then now he comes and he throws it all on. You just go getting down lower and lower and lower and lower. You ever felt that way? Huh? Well, I'm sort of the king of condemnation. The devil beats me up. But you know, what's that? All right, I'm sorry. I take it off. I'm overcoming. Thank you. Brother Bert just said I should not confess that, so I'm not. I was. Thank you. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, let me just put it this way. I've had my experience of falling under condemnation, and it's not a good place to stay. Because when the devil gets you into the grips of condemnation, he's not going to let you go.
That's right.
And it's only when you cry out to God mm-hmm. that he loosens his grip. Mm-hmm. Huh? Isn't that true? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. So the devil's a liar. And you have to begin to recognize how he fights so you become wiser than the devil. Hallelujah. And let me just share this with you, brother. Do you think that God wants to keep let me think how I want to word this right. Who do you think wants you to be delivered? You or God? Which one more? God or you? It's God. God loves you. You know, God considers you as his children. But and that's why the word says, it says and to those who believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But when you look at it, it's technon, children. So he births you as children. But his expectation for you is to grow and to mature so that you are what it says in Romans chapter 8, to those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, or the huios, the mature sons of God. So, in order for us to come into a place of growth maturity, we must be led of his Spirit. Amen? Led of his Spirit into this place. You know, as I was saying before, we were singing, I must go forward. I cannot go back. What is our end result here, brethren? Right here. To tabernacle with God. Hallelujah. Amen. To tabernacle, that the whole presence of God comes and fills our temple. Hallelujah. And every one of us has that opportunity, and God is giving us, well, he's giving us the opportunity, but he's also equipping us to be able to accomplish it. Yes. Hallelujah. He's given it to us, Gordon. Everything that he has given. It says that, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth within our Lord, and we are complete in him. So when we have the Holy Spirit comes into our
spirit.
Oh, I was waiting for somebody. Thank you, Jim. The Holy Spirit comes into our spirit. And so we have the totality, but the problem is we need to get him into our soul. Back to the dream. We're to learn two principles. And if we can get them right, huh? You know, life is like playing a game. Huh? It is. We're when you play a game, you play to win. Huh? You're also working against someone else. You know, the interesting thing about the game was we were with other people, but we were working because we were learning. Even it's sort of like if you look at a team, when they go play an opposing team, before they play it, they end up playing amongst themselves because they're practicing to get ready. Hallelujah. And you know, we're like that together. It's like our interaction as brothers and sisters is like playing the game. Yeah. Or the reality is it's in the life and we begin to rub together, we begin to spar together. Huh? Yeah. Huh? Do we automatically love one another? Huh? Oh, some people you love a little easier than others. But there are some people that are harder to love than others, right? Huh? You have what you call personality clashes. But you know, if we learn the principles of God and we begin to say, he's my brother, he's my sister. You know, I may not have the same desires or anything like that, but God has put us together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Cook always used to tell us when we were young, I used to always remember, he'd say, you know, he says, God is sort of like in a prison. He goes, you never pick your cellmates. We would all laugh, you know, because God puts you together as a fellowship and you begin to overcome. Uh-huh. Hallelujah.
Isn't
that right, Wade? Brother Mark? You know, there are things that you have to work out in life. But as you persevere with God, God's going to persevere and work on your behalf. And all the while that's going on, we're getting the benefit. Because as we as we move together in the Spirit of God, as we walk in obedience to God, things are happening and changing in our lives. Amen? But it's getting it down. It's getting these principles down in our lives that we're to love God first. My best way in which I can help you, Steffi, is for me to love God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and strength. Because if I'm focused on God, you know, as I begin to have a burden, the Spirit of God will come and say, Steffi's in trouble, pray for her. Huh? Do you think I'll be sensitive in the Spirit if I'm not loving God, if I'm distracted and I'm doing this or that? To love God with all of our heart. There's something that God will move. I don't care what problems you have or what situations or where we're at or where the church is at. It doesn't matter. The thing is to get ourselves focused on God. When we get ourselves focused on God, everything else will come into the proper perspective. Hallelujah. How many of us want to love one another? All right, love God. I wasn't in Africa. Brother Bert, you were there. I don't know if you were in that meeting with Brother, he was from Louisiana. Charles Williams. Yeah. And we got the videos, and of course we were recording him, and I'll always remember he was up there. He only gave like, I don't know, maybe a 15, 20 minute teaching, but he talked about, he drew a circle. What's that? Can we bring it up higher? Sure, we can bring it up higher. He drew a circle, and he said, in that circle, it's like a wheel or a spoke. He says, in the middle is God. And he drew all the spokes. And I'm a terrible drawer, so this isn't... here, Sue. I'm just... my phone is... Is my phone saying something? Okay. I don't know if Brother Jajoki is... Okay. All right. So he says, the middle of the spoke, and here we are at different points on the wheel. All right. Do you remember that? Some of you remember that? And the place... You know, and we're all at different places in our walk with God. And believe me, don't ever ask me. I have no idea. I'm just concerned about myself. So don't ask me where I think you are. We're not to judge ourselves. We're not to judge ourselves. Right? No, I'm serious. Some person came one time and says, you know, if you ever see anything about me, if you ever see me and send, you please come and tell me about it. Well, I'm not a person's Holy Spirit. Huh? I'm not a person's Holy Spirit. But you know, if the position in the middle here is God, and as this spoke is like our walk with God, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to one another. The closer we get to one another as we get close with God. Hallelujah. Now, let's put it in the converse. The farther I get away from God, farther I get away from God, the farther I'm away from my brethren. That's why the Word of God says what it says. That first we're to love God. And then the second greatest is this, we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Huh? If we can get these two things down, brethren, if we can work them in our lives, hallelujah, then it's, well, Jesus said, he says, in all, what does it say? It says, in all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Everything, even with all this, everything, all the revelation, it hangs on these two things that we're to love God. Now, if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, this is where we're going to end up. Because here is the place of dealing with the soul. Huh? It's dealing with the soul. And this is the place at the golden altar we were talking of. Brother Mark was talking of it this afternoon. The afternoon about the golden altar. It's the offering up of the soul. It's the place where God will determine whether we are part of either the five wise or the five foolish virgins. Huh? Hallelujah. And it was the five wise that went in at midnight. I would say that if they had oil in their vessels, which is a type of the soul, that then that they had the Holy Ghost was in all of their mind, their will, their soul, or their mind, their will, their emotions, and their desires. Because see, as we obey God, as we love God, that's how we're getting the oil. Huh? We want God. We start to fill our mind with God, Sister Mary. We're starting to get oil in our mind. We start to put God's emotions over our emotions. The Holy Spirit is able to come in and begin to work and to give us God's emotions versus our own emotions. Huh? How many of you ever get upset because you see where the devil has a hold over your emotions? Huh? Then we have to cry out to God. God, come into my emotions. Do something. You have to do something because, you know, if I find myself tripping over the same thing, I know that if I don't allow God in it, somewhere down the line, the devil's got a bigger trap for me. Huh? Somewhere where he would have a right to take my heart away from God. Hallelujah. You remember now the heart is in the center of the soul. It's the place where all the decisions are made by our thinking and our desires and our will and our emotions. Huh? How many of us need God in these areas in our lives?
Amen.
In our desires.
Amen.
In our mind. Oh my God. God help us have our mind stayed upon Him. Huh? How many of you are in perfect peace 24/7? All right, look around everybody. Nobody's raising their hands. We need to get our mind upon the things of God. Remember, God says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Because in Isaiah it says, He will keep you in perfect peace. How many of us want perfect peace? Huh? So when we find ourselves disturbed, that means the devil is working in our lives. And don't believe the devil when he gives you all the excuses why you should be upset. Anytime you're upset, you're out of the Spirit of God. Your emotions aren't under the control of the Spirit of God. And you need to repent. Oh gosh, anybody here need to repent? Huh? We need to repent. The devil, these are the things that God wants to do because, you know, God is wanting it, brethren. He gives us the commandments so that when we will submit to God, we're going to have the victory in our lives.
Amen.
Emotions, mind. Oh, we can't forget the desires. Huh? Someone always said that the desires that man has the ability to desire heaven and hell at the same time. Is that true? Huh? Oh, yeah. Want God and then you want the devil. Want God, you want the devil. Want God, you want the devil. You know, I found a key one time. I found I wasn't overcoming in this one area. And I kept crying out to God. Oh, God, you need to deliver me. You need to deliver me. And I kept going. You know what I found out? One day the Lord said to me, the reason why you're not delivered is because you want the thing more than you hate it. Oh, then I need to hate it more than I want it. And when I hated it more than I wanted it, then I got the victory in my life. Hallelujah. I believe that the church is in the hour of decisions. You know, when we were in the Czech Republic, the Lord spoke to me. He says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decisions. You know, and these times of gathering is for us to present ourselves to God, to allow God to give way to God. So that we might repent, so that we can be changed. Huh? I think Sister Mavis said it one time, it says, the greatest miracle is a changed life. So when we come together, we should come together to say, God, I want to do business. Hallelujah. And if we really want to do business with God, God's going to do business with us. And we're going to receive the change. So in closing, brethren, God bless you tonight. I just pray what I'm sharing here. Pray about this dream. Because I believe the dream wasn't just for myself. I believe it's for the people of God. And if we really do and learn these two principles, we are going to have much success in our life. Amen.
Someone in the congregation sent me a scripture verse, John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.